The Loire River Valley, a little south of Paris, was one of the poshest neighborhoods in France during the Renaissance. This means that today, you can spend days here admiring incredible architecture and gardens while learning about France's history and heritage. So, where do you start? Danielle Ferrineau joins us right now on Travel with Rick Steves for a visitor's introduction to the Chateau country of the Loire Valley. Bonjour, Danielle.
Hello.
Danielle, you live in Paris, but you also live near the Loire Valley, a little bit south of the Loire.
Yes, exactly.
Why would somebody want to live in the Loire area when you could live in a great city like Paris also?
Well, the Loire Valley is a very pleasant area to live. It's very quiet, of course, for those who like discotheques and...
Okay, don't go to the Loire for the discotheques.
Big activities, no. Even though there are some big cities that afford all sorts of activities of that type. But I would say that most people would go to the Loire Valley for the beauty of the area, very fresh air.
And to get away from the intensity of Paris?
Exactly.
And maybe that was the same reason some of the nobility and royalty went
there
to build their chateau.
Exactly. Ah. It's exactly what you say. The kings of France were hunters, first of all.
Right.
So they needed those big space for hunting, and the Loire Valley is the perfect place.
Perfect place for hunting.
Yes.
For Louis, it took a little while to go from Paris to the Loire Valley. How long does it take to go?
Today, if you go with your car, it would take you 3 hours.
And if you go by TGV, fast train?
You can go to the big city of Tours within 1.5 hours.
So you can leave Paris and in 1.5 hour be in Tours, T-O-U-R-S. Mm-hmm. And from there, Tours is on the Loire, and then the beautiful smaller towns are very close by. You can connect by bus, I suppose.
Yes.
If somebody is thinking about the most exciting single day to enjoy a representative look at the Loire Valley, mm-hmm. what are the famous first things to see for a beautiful day on the Loire?
A beautiful day in the Loire, if you are going by train, you just spend your day in the city of Tours, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Because Tours offers everything you can dream of.
Okay.
It's a beautiful city located between the Loire River and the next big river, which is called the Cher River.
The Cher, okay.
In between, you have this city of Tours, like a very lazy sort of beauty between those two rivers. You see the beauty of the Loire.
Yeah.
If you walk a little bit further, you see the beauty of the Cher. In between, you have all those beautiful buildings, flowers everywhere.
And we should mention a lot of the beauty of the Loire is not on the Loire, but it's also on the little rivers nearby.
Exactly. Actually, La Loire is the big river of France. It's 1,000 kilometers long.
Oh.
And this part of the river we are talking about is like the last part before the ocean.
Okay.
It covers an area of about 300 kilometers. Mm-hmm. That would be about 250 miles, right?
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about traveling in the Loire. We're joined by Danielle Ferrineau, a tour guide from the Loire area. And Danielle, we can enjoy the beautiful city of Tours, again, T-O-U-R-S.
Yes.
But if you want to use that as a springboard and actually see some chateaux, what would be the best two or three chateaus, and how would you describe them?
If you were staying in Tours, in a few minutes, I would say, half an hour,
mm-hmm.
you could go to Langeais, you could go to Chenonceau, even though Chenonceau is a little bit further. And it's not really on the Loire. It's on an attributary to the Loire. It's called the Cher.
Okay, C-H-E-R.
And Chenonceau is the symbol of the beautiful chateaus of the Loire.
If you had a book about the Loire, on the cover of the book would be a photograph of Chenonceau.
Probably. Yes, yes. It's really the symbol of the elegance of that architecture.
I think it sort of dances with little arches going over the river and the sleepy Cher River instead of the bigger Loire River.
Yes.
It's called the Lady Chateau. Why is Chenonceau called the Lady's Chateau?
It's called the Lady's Chateau because it happened that from the beginning of this place, from the beginning of the construction, it has been always the property of fantastic ladies. You know, the first one, Catherine Brissonnet, her husband was a tax collector of the king. So he was always with the king. She was there taking care of the construction, choosing the people, the artists who were working there. And then, of course, along the years, the other very famous one has been one of the King of France mistress, the lovely Diana de Poitiers, mm-hmm. Diane de Poitiers, yes. Then when the king died and she was not the queen anymore, the chateau belonged to the real queen, Catherine de Medici.
Catherine de Medici,
Catherine de Medici, another very strong personality, right? Catherine de Medici gave this property to one of her daughter-in-law. This lady was called Louise, so she'll be another one of those famous ladies. And it goes on and on, till up to now.
Whoa. You know? So I maybe for these kings who are so full of power and ambition, maybe they had strong women and they just wanted to distract the women by giving them a nice chateau to take care of.
I think they wanted to be nice with
them. They wanted to be nice. Oh, yes, that's good. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. Yes. And when you go today, it has a sort of a feminine touch.
Oh, absolutely. It's very elegant. Really very
describe
elegant.
The beautiful court, that the long hall that goes literally over the river.
It used to be a bridge.
Okay.
This long hall, actually.
Right.
The first part is really the biggest part of the castle is what you see when you are walking towards the castle. Okay.
On the riverbank.
On the riverbank. Then Diana of Poitiers thought that it would be easier to go to the other side of the river, to the other side of the property, because this is where they were hunting, of course.
Oh, yeah.
It would be easier if there was a bridge. So she ordered people to build that elegant bridge on the River Cher. And then, when she was not the mistress anymore, when the queen, Catherine de Medici, took that property for her, she decided that she needed more space. And she thought that would be a good idea to enjoy, to take advantage of this fantastic location. So she decided to build an extra part of the building above that bridge. And that's how she got that fantastic
ballroom
gallery.
So the mistress of the king had a bridge going across the river. Hey, let's cover it up and make it an extension of the palace. And now we can have more people over for a party.
Yes. Then it became a sort of tradition. Kings wanted to have
this
always
something spectacle.
Spectacular like this. Yes.
And when you go to a place like Chenonceau, this beautiful chateau, you get an audio tour. If you're lucky to have a guide like you, well, you have a live guide. But most of the tourists that come there, included, I believe, with the admission, is a beautiful audio tour.
Yes, at the very entrance to the property.
And then every room is explained in English
beautifully.
Now, this was Chenonceau.
Chenonceau.
That was the elegant chateau, the big, grandiose chateau. Also very important, Chambord.
Chambord. Chambord is different. Chambord was built for a young man, the king Francis I.
Oh, and he was like the ultimate king, the Renaissance king.
Absolutely. He was the handsome young man of his time. He was 20 years old when he became king in 1515. He had already met Leonardo da Vinci. He was impressed by this master, by this man. He invited him in France, and with Leonardo's advisors, probably, he decided to build something really fantastic. That was like a dream, the dream of a young, maybe one of the last knights of the Middle Ages. He ordered the construction of something really big. And here is Chambord. Actually, Leonardo da Vinci never saw Chambord because he died in 1519.
So he never saw it.
He never saw it.
But he designed the fascinating interlocking stairway.
Exactly.
The double helix, it's called?
Yes, yes. He probably designed this plan.
When you go, it is like you think you could put 10 castles inside this castle.
Yes.
It's 440 rooms. You stand at the far end of the garden and it's just like, it's like a mountain.
Yes.
And it's fascinating to me, Danielle, that the lady of the court would go to the rooftop and watch the men hunting. Can you describe how that hunting spectacle worked for the fancy nobles and the royalty?
Well, first of all, they would start with those fantastic horses, be dressed with incredible outfits and pearls and all sorts of jewels. They were dressed in a way that we can hardly imagine. And then they would go for hunting.
The men would dress with all the pearls and the jewels?
Of course.
So you'd dress up to go hunting. And the women with their pearls and jewels would be up on top of the roof, clapping for them and drinking tea, and there's my man.
At that time, I don't think they were drinking tea.
Okay.
But a part of the hunting party would be to impress the girls.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had the best horses, the nicest way to ride a horse and so on. And a hunting party could last 3 days.
3 days. And the grounds were big enough.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes they would even stay overnight because they were after a deer or they were after a wild boar or whatever. It was really something. And it was like the continuation of an old tradition that was the necessary activity to feed the people.
So that sort of goes way, way back to the clans and the yes. tribes when the leader would keep the people with meat and protected from the wild beast and so on.
Yeah. In the case of Francis, he was such an athlete.
He was quite an athlete, yeah.
He was an athlete, so he would be able to kill a bear or a wild bear.
Oh, he's there. Yeah. The king I would like, yeah. for sure, Francois Premier.
Yeah.
Leonardo chose to live in his court.
Mm-hmm.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Danielle Ferrinou, and we're talking about the Loire Valley. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com, and Mary Jane from Santa Ynez, California, has emailed us, and she writes, "We were driving through the Loire Valley on our way to the Chambord Palace, and we got as lost as we could on purpose, just to have a spontaneous day. We found wonderful little farm communities that looked like an unoccupied three-story chateau on a lovely estate. We walked around the area and enjoyed meeting the wonderful local people. We found that not caring where you're going in the Loire Valley presented many interesting opportunities that we would not have had if we just followed a set route connecting famous castles together." Of course, they eventually did see the big castles, but the highlight of their trip was just visiting people in villages and getting lost.
Yes, of course. The villages are all authentic. What is interesting also about this area is the way the houses were built. In this area, they are lucky enough to have this type of stone, which is a sort of white limestone. It comes from the cliff along the mm-hmm. valley of the river. From centuries and centuries, men have been using those
stones. So it's local, it's affordable, it's, local. It's easy to quarry.
And it's white.
And it's white.
It's white. And it becomes whiter and whiter with the time. So it gives those villages a charm because it's so different. Houses are small and white, covered with a gray slate roof.
It's unique.
And with the flowers, you know, it makes a...
One of my favorite things is Amboise is a good home base when you're in the Loire.
Yes.
Amboise has a beautiful chateau, and it happens to have the home of, as you know, Leonardo da Vinci.
Leonardo.
And you walk through these neighborhoods with this beautiful white stone, and you also pass some troglodyte homes, people living in the mountain, in the cave.
Mm-hmm. The caves are naturally holes in the cliff,
mm-hmm.
but they can be also the result of those quarries that have been used.
Oh, okay, so you could just move
for
in.
For centuries and centuries, and especially by the Romans. This part was part of the Roman Empire, mm-hmm. of course. The Romans needed stones to build their roads, their bridges, and so on. So they cut those huge holes in the cliffs. So those holes became homes for people, the troglodyte homes.
And the troglodyte can be warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Exactly.
Natural insulation.
Perfect cellars.
Perfect cellars for the local wine.
Because also the Loire Valley is one of the most important wine country in France.
Huh.
And another little industry or agriculture, it's the culture of the mushrooms.
I heard you can actually visit a cave with mushrooms.
Yes. Mushroom in France is a champignon.
Yeah.
So a place where you grow the champignon
nice.
Is a champignonniere.
Okay, so you can visit your champignonniere in the Loire Valley.
Exactly, yes.
All right, I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Danielle Ferrinou. We're talking about the wonders of the Loire Valley. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. You can email us anytime at radio@ricksteves.com. And Nicole's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Nicole, thanks for your call.
Oh, hi there. I had a beautiful experience in the Loire Valley a few years ago, sort of the back roads. My husband and I spent 10 days driving from Saint-Benoît all the way to Nantes. And we stayed mostly in accommodations that we found on Gîte de France website. So we stayed in very small B&Bs, families, people that were making their living from the land, eating local foods, local wine. We made sure that each opportunity we had to have the table d'hôte with the host dinner was just a really special part of the trip, a great way to get to know the local people.
So now, is table d'hôte, does that mean the dinner that they would provide?
Yes, it's fantastic. I mean, one of the places we stayed in Saint-Benoît, literally, we had river trout that her neighbor had caught.
Now, Nicole, for our listeners, you mentioned you were staying in the GITES system, G-I-T-E-S, And this is unique to France, and it is just a beautiful opportunity for travelers like you who want to get more by spending less and connecting with salt-of-the-earth people out in the countryside to become a temporary local. Nicole, what was your favorite castle experience while you were in the Loire?
I have to say Chenonceaux, not only because it's so beautiful, but we happened to be there in the winter, and it literally snowed just a little bit every single day of our trip. And so I have a great picture of Chenonceaux with snow falling, and so I forever think of it as Chenonceaux now.
Chenonceaux. I like that. Well, thank you, Nicole, for your call.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we've been speaking with Danielle Ferrenou about the Chateau country of France. And Danielle, it's interesting for me because you live in Paris, which is the Manhattan of France, really, but you also seem to be very charmed by living more in the peaceful countryside. If you were a visitor, or if you had a visitor in the Loire Valley and you wanted to give them a very restful experience in the Loire Valley, what would be the most beautiful way to truly recharge and relax and savor the good life of the Loire?
You could go in one of the villages, Montsoureau, for instance. Mm-hmm. Montsoureau is a fantastic town along the river where you see the sand and you see the Loire and you see people going fishing. They have those special type of flat-bottom boats that are built the way they were built hundreds of years ago, the gabar going
the gabar,
on the Loire.
They're unique for the Loire industry in the old days.
Yes, exactly. And also one thing maybe we should mention is that in the past, the Loire was navigable, mm-hmm. which means all those kings, all those members of the nobility who wanted to be along the Loire with the king for various reasons, they were coming mostly by boat. They
right.
had those fantastic equipage on those boats and the big trunks and all that, and including the horses. So nowadays, you go to Montsoureau, you see that. They have recreated this life, going fishing with a gabar, having a drink, looking at the people.
So find a small town. It could be one of many towns. Stay in a chambre d'hôte,
exactly.
a bed and breakfast,
yes.
and become a temporary local person.
Yes, and just look at those sites. You don't have necessarily to visit inside all those mm-hmm. chateaus. There are so many of them. Of course, you would like to see all of them, but if you just look at them from outside, they are all located in fantastic places, above the hill, etc.
That's the charm of the Loire Valley.
And see maybe one or two vineyards and figure out a little place to taste that good wine of the Loire.
And I want to visit a champignon.
Yes.
The mushroom cave. What is the mushroom cave called again?
Champignonnière.
Another dimension of the Loire Valley.
Yes.
Danielle Ferrenou, merci bien.
You're welcome.
From the mansions of high society, our next stop is among the weathered stones and boulders of Brittany in the northwest of France. That region's extensive prehistoric sites have their own stories to tell, and we'll hear about that next on Travel with Rick Steves.